I am super excited to announce that we now have a formal partnership with The Prospect Wizard. And when I say wizard, I mean wizard. Obviously, you have a website. This allows you to convert your website traffic visitors directly into leads. It's not just another chatbot, and it's not AI, but it allows a visitor to call, text, or leave a voicemail, immediately goes to you, your sales team, or anyone else in the club instantly. MIT shows a study that if you contact a lead within 10 minutes, chance of them converting goes up 9 times that of the average. We got the Atlanta clubs on it, Vita Fitness, Gold's Gym, Mountainside, City Fitness Philly, College Park. Become one of the next Halo companies to deploy the wizard. It's easy to use. Go to theprospectwizard.com. Get a free 30-day trial. Talk to my boy, Dave Gallen. He will get you all set up and let the leads flow based on the wizard. Go get them.
This is Pete Moore on Halo Talks NYC. We are going to be speaking with Sid. We're going to be talking about advanced next-generation technology of treadmills. We're going to be talking about a location that you will need to visit on west end of the Midtown New York City Island, and that is where we are going to be doing fitness. We're going to be infusing gamification. And Sid, welcome as the inventor to your first Halo Talks.
Well, thank you so much, Pete. Really appreciate the opportunity to speak with you.
Awesome. So give us a little background on, you know, what's your original background before you decided, hey, I think I've got an idea here. I can execute this, and I'm going to leapfrog into technology that I'm not sure where it's going yet, but I know people are going to love it when it gets there.
Right. Well, my background is as an engineer. I've been doing structural engineering and various things related to building construction for almost 30-plus years. About 6-7 years ago, I got into construction automation and robotics. That is where I first learned that, motors and controllers can be so much fun because at the end of the day, whether it's a treadmill or a robot, much of the same principles apply. And what really led me to doing the treadmill, which I really call it a running simulator because it's so much more than just what, you know, people have identified a treadmill to be, is that I'm a trail runner, and trail running when you're not in the outdoors has always been a challenge to replicate using existing equipment. And even though I tried some of the higher end machines, I was bored silly. So I said, if the opportunity presents itself, I've got to try and do something about it. And it was at the beginning of the pandemic that this opportunity presented itself.
Yeah. So you being an engineer and you understanding, you know, how things work, what the potential results and feelings could be out of that. Also knowing, you know, this is durable. You know, like I put up a building, I use this kind of technology. It's not going to like tilt over. We're not going to have like, the lower Manhattan, right? Like all Eiffel Towers. Like we got this shit figured out, right? So yeah. When you take a look at that and say, hey, the frustration that I am solving. Did you think about how many people have that frustration? Did you have a lot of friends that though like road running, be like, yeah, you know, I like running on treadmill, but like it just doesn't capture, you know, how I want to feel when I'm doing it. I feel like I'm practicing for something that I really want to do outside. And so what are some of the things that you said, I'm going all on this because I think the frustrations are big enough.
Well, yeah, I mean, the treadmill has been called the dreadmill. People get on it as a last resort if they can't run outside, I think, or they just to warm up during their gym session. And I observed that every time I went to the gyms that I was in and, talking to anybody, nobody says I'm a treadmill runner. That's not a category of athlete.
That's a great point. Yeah. The one who says, dude, I just love running on a treadmill.
Yeah, nobody says I'm a treadmill running.
Yo, cut that out. I don't want to be the first guy who says it. All right, sorry, go ahead. Sorry about that. Back to the podcast. Fire away, baby.
At this point, it was more of, I think I have the ability and technology to to make a difference, and let's see what we can do about it. And the main thing I found frustrating with existing treadmills, and which everybody finds existing treadmills to be, is just boring, right? And what does boring mean? Boring means that after a while, I'm doing the same thing repetitively, and there's no feedback. There's nothing that I have to do differently to stimulate the session. And so for me, trail running is all about, it's almost Zen-like, because every step I take, I've got to calculate something in my head. Am I going to land on the rock? Am I going to land in the puddle? Is that bank too steep for me, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm engaged every time I take a step, which is even more than road running, right? So I wanted to see if I can bring some of those elements of engaging in every step to the machine called a treadmill.
Interesting. Gotcha. Okay. And then, you know, was there, when you started to do the research on that, you started to think about the complexity of the engineering. You know, what are some, without giving away kind of like the special sauce, if you will, on how the machine works, you know, for a layman, give me some ideas of like, look, the treadmill right now is like, you know, you basically, the treadmill is kind of like a, it's a reel, right? I'm going back and forth on a gear and I'm putting rubber around it and I'm treading you through. Yeah. What is your technology doing that is basically replicating the ability to do that, but also what else is going on inside of the mechanics?
Well, to your point, treadmills come in two flavors. One is called a belt on board. What you described. And the other one is a slat belt. And both these machines operate, as you said, with some kind of a belt that's just basically like a conveyor belt, you know?
And
that's all it is. However, all of the treadmills that I've seen so far, and maybe there's a special treadmill in some lab somewhere that I haven't actually, seen myself. But all these treadmills have one problem, and that they do not go up and down very quickly and fluidly, right? And so our secret sauce is that we took a belt and board, which is a standard deck, but we introduced an element of engineering so that the deck itself is inclining and declining without lifting the runner or walker on it, so that you get the feeling that you are going uphill or downhill, and all of that is synchronized with what you're seeing on the screen in front of you. So that's really the secret sauce of creating the, as I said, a simulation of being outside.
This is Pete Moore. I want to let you in on a little secret. There's this company called Promotion Vault, and what they do is they give out rewards from retailers that allow you to incentivize your members without having to do zero down and 1 month free, or giving away shakes, or giving away t-shirts. What you want to do is build a rewards program that lasts, that people value, and that doesn't discount your own products and services. So here's the deal. There's something called Rewards Vault. The Rewards Vault is going to allow a member to set up their own profile. They are going to answer questions. You are going to get those answers. You're going to be able to target those members, and you're going to reward them inside your club, inside your spa, and outside of the club and outside of the spa to get them to become loyal, to get them to pay their monthly dues, and to be rewarded properly for the actions. A lot of companies are cutting back on rewards. You shouldn't be. Promotion Vault's your answer. Trust me, this is real.
So to talk about, so you developed this during COVID.
Yep.
And you've got a location that you had that you've since rebranded to your namesake, which was done by Ethan and Roger, who a lot of people know in New York City as leaders in the boutique programming side.
Right.
Talk about what, when you developed the prototype, you know, what was the next step, or where are we in the progression of commercializing the product that obviously works because you're running it through, you know, Cinch Gym on in the new location as part of the programming. But talk about what's the next step here. Is it to get people, as many people to use the treadmill and inside of the current boutique then go to commercialization of that product after you've got thousands of people that now say, hey, I love this. I've got some grassroots testimonials.
Right. So okay. To your point, as an engineer, the main thing I wanted to make sure is that, yes, I think it's fun. One other secret sauce that we have on the machine, which makes it very unique, is that there are no buttons to press to change the speed or the angles on the deck. All of that is done through a camera that faces you using skeletal tracking. So this is a novel way to interact with a machine like a treadmill. So the thing that I wanted to do after the prototypes were made in May of 2021 was to put it in a location where, like you said, we would get hundreds, if not thousands, of people to try it. And in a controlled environment, make sure that, A, it's safe, because safety first. Right. And then also to make any adjustments to the hardware and then create compelling content. Because at the end of the day, once the machine proves itself to be unique and fun, what's going to keep people coming back is the content that they can consume on it. So think of a Roku box, right? You buy a Roku or you buy an Apple TV, it's a great device, but if you didn't have good content on it, it's going to sit there unpowered on. Right. So we wanted to make sure that our hardware was supported by an equal vision in terms of the content that we can give to the consumer. So opening up Rome 149, which was the name of the place in April of 2022, was my way of saying, look, I like it. Let's see if other people like it in order to make a business out of it.
Right.
So my plan B was if it turned out that it was too much of a niche product or not enough traction, was to run out my lease, which was 5 years, and have fun doing it because I thought it was a great machine. That was plan B. But luckily, as we got into it, we got a lot of great press. We were on Daily Beast and Business Insider. We did a Channel 11 newscast with Ben Aaron. That was a live show in the morning. And then last year, we were on the Wall Street Journal's Future of Everything festival that took place in Lower Manhattan. So the exposure and the press that we got is what is now fueling the next step of the progression, which is that we have a machine that, A, is durable, it's easy to maintain, it's safe, and now we're trying to get to the mass production so that we can start distributing this to other operators that would be interested in this concept.
Interesting. You know, when you take a look at your reference to Roku and your reference to Apple TV, are you in a position where other people could create programs to put onto the treadmill as their own developers, like open developers?
Yes. In fact, that is the ultimate goal. Currently, we have our own content creators, and we have made a number of types of content. We have games that kids can play. We want to have a nostalgia series where we can take people into a town on an era. Let's say you're from South Jersey, and you know, your father or your grandfather took you down a boardwalk from the 60s. Well, we're trying to create those type of immersive experiences, because at the end of the day, what this system allows us to do is not only create the terrain accurately, but to bring in content that's either games or, you know, places that you'd like to run in or visit from a, you know, so that is, but to your point, can we develop all the content that people will want? I think that might be a lofty goal. And so in order to make it an open platform, we've been in touch with at least one company that makes the game that people might know, Temple Run. And we've had some conversations with them about having their product come on to our machine. And when we are a little further along, we want to reach out to other companies, because we will open up an API so that if you have an existing game that, you know, people love to play, imagine being able to play that very same game while you're moving and in an experiential type of environment. So it is going to be a platform system. That is the goal.
Before we move on, do I look like I'm from South Jersey? Do I look like I'm from South Jersey? Come on. That's it. From Strong Island, baby. Anyway, I like the analogy of running on the boardwalk, though. It's divine. Let's go from here to the next phase. How you're an engineer. You always look like you're always looking at, okay, I got to make sure that this is the highest quality, most durable, most advanced technology product that I can create. At the same time, I've got cost considerations. I got what will the market bear. So how does this product fall into, I've got a Woodway, I've got a Matrix, you know, in this category right now. How do you price this product? And, you know, obviously we're going to mass produce this at some point, so we'll get economies of scale, but where do you want the price point of this to come out? Not just from marketing it and getting the right margin, but also you get what you pay for, right? So if you want to buy a $9,000 Woodray, you know, you're not going to have a maintenance guy in your house or your studio anytime soon. If you buy a cheap treadmill off of the internet, you know, good luck assembling it and making sure that that belt actually, you know, can last 100 miles.
Right.
So where does this fall in the price point?
So the price point will fall between those two names that you mentioned.
Right.
But we don't look at this product as something that is a cost to the user. We see it as something that will have a profit center model and a return on investment. And you ask me, how can we do that? What we can do with this product is we can have a lot of customization, like virtual races. You've mm-hmm. been to, you know, the studio, all the machines are networked. So you can have a virtual 5K, not only between all the machines in the gym, but across the world. And mm-hmm. those type of competitions could be paid for. You can have a $10, you know, fee for entrance. You can give away prizes. So we see a model similar to what an arcade unit in Dave and Buster's would do,
yeah,
which is where you have a pay-per-view or a paid system in order to return money to the operator. So it will both serve as a base unit, but it can also bring in additional revenue. So I think that from a pricing point of view, the good thing that we did, if you'll indulge me for a second.
Yeah, please, I want to think through this. Right? Go ahead.
So the good thing we did is we didn't make this thing complex. The beauty about it is how simple it is. And mm-hmm. we are using a lot of off-the-shelf parts. And the manufacturer we chose, you know, they've been in business a long time. So they didn't see this as something, oh my God, how are we going to build this? And therefore, when it comes to the cost, I think we're being very cost effective. Yep. It's also a modular unit so that, you know, obsolescence is something that we're trying to get rid of, so that if there's a better display system or some other thing that comes along in 2 years, the operators can upgrade their existing units without having to throw out the entire treadmill.
Yeah.
So we have a value proposition that is second to none when it comes to what this machine will do for the operator. And that is really what I would, you know, emphasize rather than the price.
This is Pete Moore. Here's the last tip for you of the podcast. We are partnered up with a company called Higher Dose, higherdose.com. They are the leader in workout recovery products, infrared technology, LED light masks, neck enhancers, and other products such as PEMF mats and sauna blankets. If you have not gotten on the workout recovery train yet, your time and your stop is now. You got to get these products in there before these workout recovery and spas end up saturating your market, having your members walk out of the club and going into one of their locations for $200 per month where they're paying $39 to you. Let's become an expert in workout recovery if we are already an authority in workouts. Higher Dose, check it out. There's a wholesale code, and we look forward to helping you augment your products and services to meet the demands of your members. And hey, let's get people happy, healthy, and sweating, and the recovery should be just as good as the workout.
And then, what's happening? Talk about, what Ethan and Roger are doing inside the location. How excited you are about what that potentially allows you to say about the treadmill, because look, Barry's Bootcamp, Orange Theory, use a treadmill as part of their modalities. But this is almost like a more gamification and entertainment component that, might drive in a wider spectrum of people that would come in, maybe less intimidation about like how intense the workout is. One of the things that Dave Gannon and I have been like harping on, and we've had some guests on, and we've kind of like peeled the onion to like, what's the essence of the essence? Like, make it fun for me. Like, don't make everything, I don't want a challenge. Like, if I'm 40 pounds overweight, like, I'm not walking in here to be like getting my ass kicked. And then I think that's going to somehow like get me to like change my lifestyle, like, by getting yelled at, right? Or by failing, right? Like, entertain me, and I'll come back for the entertainment. And if I get all this ancillary value from it, that's awesome, right? So,
Pete, you hit the nail on the head, right? If something is fun and it doesn't feel like, work or a chore or challenging, you're more likely to benefit overall anyway. And so that is, it's a theater of the mind. I don't even call it a treadmill. I call it a theater of the mind. Because what's happening is that, especially the way Ethan and Roger and I are, working together, we want to create experiences. That, the parent company of this product is called Experience, XPRNC.
Okay.
And that's really what we're in the business of experience. Because if you ask somebody, have you led a rich life? What does a rich life mean to somebody that doesn't have a lot of money or somebody that has a lot of money? It means how many experiences have you had? If you've never moved out of South Jersey or Long Island your entire life.
Now, obviously not talking about me, but yeah, hypothetically. Yeah.
Right. Hypothetically.
Yeah, okay.
You haven't really experienced the entire world. What we're hoping to do is to bring a sliver of a lot of experiences that are real, world experiences, but also things like running on the moon. So these type of experiences is what this machine can deliver. And Ethan and Roger see the potential how a class can become very experiential. People, throw these buzzwords around, connected fitness, experience, this and that. But I think our package can actually deliver it in a gym setting where you get the physicality of an instructor, but you also get the mind-blowing experience of being on a place that, wow, you've never seen, and we're bringing it to you in a digital format. So I think the combination is what I'm excited about. Mm-hmm. And Ethan is always pushing the envelope as to what the machine can do. So he's always giving me ideas, always saying, can I do this? Like, for example, the avatars. We had avatars that looked like real people. And to your point, he said, Sid, people don't want to be body shamed. They don't want to find that, the avatar that you're portraying them as is this person that they can't relate to. So he created the idea of having all these cartoon characters. So we got an Elvis, we got, all kinds of cartoon characters. And it's interesting to find that since we did that, people are no longer intimidated by the machine. And I think that the digital realm is where people can kind of open themselves up and be whoever the hell they want to be. And we are a portal entry into that system. So that's why we are merging, the real with your own inner desires to be whatever you want.
I mean, look, if you take a look at what the golf simulators have done, where you can literally go and you can play Pebble Beach, you can go play, Augusta. You're basically providing that type of potential experience, but actually on a, as you're actually moving with it, not just standing still, so it's kind of like the next generation of animated, immersive, fitness, I would say.
Yes, exactly.
Got it. So look, the studios, just opened up recently, right? So We're going to head over there and we'll take some pictures and we'll get that onto the summaries here once the podcast launches. Anything else you want to leave us with here, either for potential investors, potential partners, any quotes that you live by or, to kick off 2024?
Well, I think the quote that I'd like to leave with is, we'd like to put communities into motion. I mean, I think there's a lot of talk about how America and maybe a lot of the world is becoming less fit. There's too many calories available. People are getting heavier. And as you said, the idea that, today popping a pill is starting to look like the best bet if you're overweight or something. We're trying to bring back, a sense of entertainment and joy to movement. Most people move if they really have to, but it's not as much fun as it could be. And I think that that's really what we're trying to do is put communities into motion and in our own little way, bring the world into a smaller place so you can appreciate the beauty and the diversity of the world. So it's a lofty goal, but I think this machine can deliver.
Well, look, we're only trying to solve obesity, diabetes, and loneliness. So thanks for your help. Appreciate it. And, so we'll tackle these things. It'll take us like, 24, 36 months, and then we'll go for a bike ride on the Jersey boardwalk together, buddy.
Okay.
My man, a pleasure. Look forward to making good stuff happen. Thanks for focusing on this. I want to make one statement on a serious note that, a lot of entrepreneurs have things that they can do in any different industry to make money. And the fact that you're in the halo sector with a mind like yours, it matters, and it's going to change the game. So thanks for that and being a role model, and look forward to helping you out.
I appreciate that.
Seriously. All right, man. Great to see you. Happy New Year.
Thank you.
Awesome.